You can't do anything these days. Well, there's very little you can do without providing proof of address. You can go into a retail shop and buy some onions, whether they make you weep when you chop them or not, without proof of address, but that's about all. And I was alerted to a blog which says that proof of payment must fall. Barry Cooper is technical director at Centfree, which is the Centre for Financial Regulation and Inclusion. Barry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
I provide proof of payment to my bank and other institutions because the law says I must. Not so?
It's proof of address, but the law in South Africa actually doesn't say that anymore. The law has changed, and usually we say a lot about the government being behind and those kinds of comments. But in this case, they're way ahead. They are thought leaders, particularly the FIC and SARB. There was bilateral support for the changes in the FIC legislation, and it's just come to the point where the banks are still implementing a proof of address regime, but the law has in fact changed.
What does the law now say, Barry?
Well, it goes from a more of a rules-based approach where we required a whole lot of different artifacts that you could tick off, a proof of address, an ID, and a couple other things. And, from a recent past, we can see that, that didn't work too well in terms of money laundering. We really didn't stop a whole lot. And so the law now requires a proportionate approach. So a whole big, thick a deck of legal rules has been summarized into very, very limited rules where the financial institutions are required to really understand their customers, understand the risk that they pose, and then employ proportionate measures. And what we found from our research is that proof of address doesn't really affect much. You can't really mitigate much risk with it because there's so many exceptions to it and many people don't have access to it. There's 200 to 300 million sub-Saharan Africans that don't have proof of address and effectively locked out of the system.
Okay, that's sub-Saharan Africa, but South Africa is generally more sophisticated in a banking sense. I mean, what percentage of the, 40 million South Africans that would be eligible to have a bank account don't have them because they're not able to provide proof of address?
Well, it's in the last time we looked at South Africa, it was just amongst the SASSA account holders, it would have been 2.2 million. That's just the SASSA account holders. But the bigger figure is a much bigger proportion of South Africans. I think it's in around 20% odd in terms of exclusion. We'd have to really cut that figure with proof of address. We look at sub-Saharan Africa as a whole, because that's our area of study. But what it does mean is that people are being barred from entering the financial services sector just because their address is unsurveyed or in the area they don't have postal services or physical pieces of paper. And what we found is that it offers almost zero mitigation. So you're creating almost a whole environment, a whole ecosystem of collecting pieces of paper that don't really serve much purpose. It doesn't mitigate risk. There's an inherent assumption that lower income people are higher risk, which we believe is absolutely not the case in many cases.
Even if it is the case that they are higher risk, their inability to provide proof of address doesn't increase or doesn't affect that risk at all, or it doesn't seem to me to in any way affect their address.
Spot on. So that was the old legislation. So you were required to comply for compliance sake. There was an assumption that if you had all these artifacts, that somehow that would impact the risk, which is not the case. It's really understanding the consumer and really putting the consumer on the books first to understand them better, that you can really understand their risk. You can risk rate products. I think that's where South Africa is at the moment, is the banking institutions, financial institutions, are really trying to start understanding their products, but currently they're still applying the old way of doing it. They're very, very reluctant to give up the comfort of having a lot of rules that you can tick off and seeing that you are complying. to a position where they really have to understand people, understand their customer base, and apply proportionate measures where appropriate. It's for them, it's a little bit more nebulous, but it is it's important, and it's important because the cost of compliance, particularly in money laundering, is just ballooning. And that is what that does is that somebody has to pay for it. Ultimately, it's the consumer that pays for it, and particularly lower income consumers. And it boils down to a position where you can't really supply a $10 savings account for, you know, where the compliance cost is $20. It limits the scope of the banking industry and the financial industry, and it really just limits the amount of people that can interact and can really manage their financial lives better.
I have proof of address, but I guarantee you if in February, I think I'm due for an upgrade in one of my cards, if I were to arrive to pick it up without without proof of address and say, but I spoke to Barry Cooper of Senfree and he told me that the law doesn't require me to have proof of address anymore, so please give me my credit card, they would laugh me out of the bank, or they would chase me out of the bank without much laughter.
Well, it's because they are applying a regime that is probably the default regime within the institutions. It would be important, I think, to raise awareness of it, to become active on social media. I mean, shouting at the person in the banking hall won't do much.
Yeah.
They're just doing exactly what they've been told.
Yeah.
But
Barry, is there any kind of any kind of move at the level of the Council of South African Banks, for example, to have a look at this, or are you very much a lone voice in the wilderness on this?
No, they very much understand it. It's just a case of the schedule, and you know, within the banking industry, often things are glacial. But you know, with I think a little bit more prodding, they can. Start becoming a lot richer.
Okay, well, Barry, thank you for talking to us. I'm going to try and get somebody from the Council of South African Banks or from the Payments Association or somebody who can speak kind of on behalf of the industry and put this matter to them. Thank you for alerting me to it. Barry Cooper, Technical Director at Senfree, the Center for Financial Regulation and Inclusion. Spencer, you say in a WhatsApp, the system is so foolishly flawed. I've walked into a bank, told them I now live at a new address, but they refuse to take it without proof. So the fact is ignored in favor of the paperwork. I've even had a courier company request proof of address while delivering at that very address. That does sound completely bizarre.